Okay. All right, there we go. Okay, pray with me for a moment and let's get started. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for the chance to come together in this place, in this space, in Jesus' name, in that which is true and the Spirit of truth. And we invite your Spirit of truth to lead and guide us into all truth. And as we spend some time this day, just going through your word and discussing different things, Father, we ask that you would quicken our hearts and our spirits to know and to understand and to go forward in that which is real and that which is the true reality of how your children should be walking and living and overcoming in this life and in this experience. So we invite you to guide this time. We just remove every distraction and everything else that is not from you right now, and we just invite only that which is true and real to be manifest in this time. In Jesus' name, thank you. All right, let's quick thing. So we're going to jump back to now. Today we are in part two. So this is part two. Part one, and we will do a little bit of a recap, but part two of the simulation. This is now, that's what we've been starting on. So verse chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Okay, I'll read that again. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now you remember the last series we finished the beast out of the sea? So now we jump a little bit further forward, and there is no more sea, right? So the one thing that we see in the scriptures is that things started out very well, and we see that things end up very well. So we have a bit of an interim period. We have a rocky period. We have a dark period. We have a lot of other things that go on in between, but we know that the way that the Most High established and put things in place, things started well, and things will end well, right? So now, if we know that what has been is passing away, then the question also arises, well, what was that all about? And what is real? What is true, right? So there's, because only that which is true, the underlying truth, is the reality that you and I should relate to. That which is that which is false should be known for being false. And we should have an understanding of that as children of truth. We should understand and know and distinguish the difference. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in the darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Okay. All right. So, so what has been is passing away. We're already in that time of God is shaking everything that can be shaken. That's going to continue to increase. That's going to continue to escalate. To understand what was, you have to also understand what is. And we also have to understand who we are. Now, here it says that in verse 17, the world is the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. So we, as children of the Most High, we as children of light, we abide forever. Now the world passes away, but we do not. That which is eternal lasts. That which is not eternal, that which is temporal, fails and falls and disappears and dissipates and collapses and implodes upon itself. So to understand a little bit about what the simulation is and what that backdrop is, what the world is, what the lie is, we also have to know some things about the truth of who we are. Now, we are immortal, eternal beings. We are that which is real in a world that is not. Now, when we begin to understand that aspect, then we can also relate to this world in the way, in an appropriate way. So you can relate to something when you know who you are. Then you can say, okay, I know where I am. I know where I'm coming from. What is this thing that I'm now observing? What is the thing that I'm now find myself in? How do I relate now to this which is not eternal, this which is not real, this which is going to dissipate, which is going to pass away? So Genesis 1:26 says that we are created in the image and the likeness of God, in the likeness of the Most High, in the likeness of the source of all things, right? So we are, and now what is his nature? Well, a few things about who he is one, he creates. You know, everything that you see in the natural world that's there, that is that which is created, has a reflection of tremendous artistic, imaginative creation, combination, all the rest of it. When people don't mess with God's creation and they let that which is by his design manifest in the way that it manifests, there's incredible things that you end up seeing in and around that. Now, whenever it seems like when there is this interference with that, we see a lot of problems and issues. But when it's allowed to be what it is, we see incredible, we see his hand. We see his handiwork. When people are not spraying stuff in the skies on top of us, and you can actually see proper clouds, when they're not putting aluminum and barium and flying that over the top and nobody seems to understand what that is or why that's being dumped on the people. But, you know, when you can actually just have normal clouds, they're quite nice. You know, they're quite beautiful. They're actually make for a nice day. But so we see the contrast between the divine design and that which is the interference. And now many times what happens too in the world that we live in is the interference takes place and then they blame it on the divine design. So they go mess something up and then they turn around and say, oh, look how bad the weather is. Well then stop spraying stuff in the air. Please stop messing with the ionosphere. Stop bouncing things, you know, in and around. Start having an open discussion about what that is, because you can find the trace minerals in the soil for the spraying of aluminum and barium on top of the people in the sky over us, dissipating in this awful misty haze that just gets sprayed, and then everybody 2-3 days later starts coughing and hacking and getting sick. They're spraying the people, right? Okay, so, but that which is the Most High has within themselves the ability and the power of creation. Now, as an immortal being, you have that. And this is very important for you to understand, because then you also start to understand why the simulation has such a strong desire to capture your attention and to capture your imagination and your participation. Because you could create anything. It's the nature of who you are. Creation happens through you. Think about everything in your own life that you have done, and when you decided to make or manifest something. So you decided to start a business. You decided to do a project. You decide. It started. Where did it start from? It started with something sparked within you, right? It sparked within you. It sparked within your mind. It sparked within your spirit. It got a hold of you. It held on to you for a while, and you're like, I got to do something with this. I got to make something out of this. Then you started looking into it. Then you started talking about it. You started speaking, right? You started talking to other people. You started speaking that thing into existence. Then you started taking action. You started taking, notice how all these series relate to the last one, right? Okay, so you started taking action. This goes back to, you know, how to change your life and your existence and your entire world. You started speaking, you started taking action, and then things started happening. And then pretty soon you find yourself creating that business. You find yourself doing that project. You find yourself engaged with people in something, in some endeavor. You find yourself in some other country that you were talking about visiting, and now all of a sudden you're there. You started making a move and a manifestation. That which began with a thought in your mind turned into words that came out of a belief within yourself to then manifest into the reality that you now experienced. We do this again and again and again and again and again. Now, that being the very nature of human, why, you understand why, if something sees you like a resource rather than a person, rather than a human, rather than that which is in that which is a fractal of the divine, right? If they see you as something to be harnessed and used and squeezed out like a sponge, right? Then what's the purpose of the purpose of that now of the simulation is to grab and harvest and harness you to create, but not in the image and the likeness of the Most High, but in their image, to create and manifest the world they want. Not the world that the Father would want, but the world that they would want you to have and you to create. This is why there's such a battle for your mind, such a battle for your thoughts, such a battle for the way that you will think and manifest, because if your belief structure is it consistent with what the controllers of the legacy system want it to be, then what will you do? You will speak curses over your own life. You will speak your own destruction, your own fall. How often do you say, I can't, I won't, this will never, ever. You see, those words, when you start speaking those words, what's happening? They don't have to do to you. You do to yourself. You're creating and cursing your own life, cursing your own reality. You're ensuring that that thing which you desire will always stay 10 feet out of your reach, because you have spoken it into existence with the very creative power of God in you to make sure it never reaches you. So if you say, I will never ever be able to reach this water bottle, right? You say that. What happens is creation within you makes sure that every time you reach for this water bottle, it moves just a little bit further away. Because you've said it. Now you want it, but you say, I will never achieve that. And now therefore, it will always move away from you because you are creating and ensuring that reality. Speak the blessing of God over your life. Because when you speak the blessing of God and the truth of God over your life, you're now working in concert with what God is doing rather than against your own interest and against that which is the true manifestation that was intended for you. You are serving the enemy's interest against yourself, testifying against yourself, rather than being an advocate of the truth in your own life experience and in the life experience of everyone else around you. Does that make sense? All right. There's always an attempt to keep and to hold the mind and the consciousness. Okay, so let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's go to verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say that to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so, we are joint heirs, co-heirs. I like this because there's so much in this, and I know it ministers to different people in different places, but verse 17 too says that and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. So as a joint heir, as a co-heir with Christ, right? Now that's a pretty powerful statement. Now, one thing that I like to do with the truth is the truth will reaffirm and reinforce itself. So Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Right. So if he's the manifestation in this reality of truth in a physical being, right? So now, if you are a co-heir with him, then what do you become in this reality while you're here? You too become a living manifestation of truth in this reality during your human experience while you are here. So that becomes part of what happens by the work of the Spirit of the Most High within you while you're here. That truth now starts to resonate within you, and that's part of being a joint heir with Christ, is you begin to manifest, because what is all creation is earnestly is groaning for the manifestation of the true sons and daughters of the Most High, right? So it's looking for that. Now, how is that going to manifest? Well, that's going to manifest off of us also coming into concert with who we are, and us being aligned with who we are. So do you remember when we were going through in the last series, and we talked about the issue of consent, the legal issue, the legal definition of consent, and what that is? Let me take a small side note, because I do have the dictionary here. Forgive me for a second if this takes me a moment to get to it. The issue of consent. Okay, let me read this one to you here. Okay. Grant me just a moment. Okay, there it is. Okay, consent. The concurrence of wills. Express consent is that directly given, either via voice or in writing. Via voice or in writing. Implied consent is that manifested by signs, actions, or facts, or the inaction or silence which raise a presumption that the consent has been given. These are legal terms, right? Consent is an act of reason accompanied with deliberation, the mind weighing as in a balance the good or evil on each side. There is a difference between consenting and submitting. Every consent involves a submission, but by merely submission does not necessarily involve consent. So you can submit, but not consent. But if you consent, so there's that, then you are now making that free will decision to now participate in whatever there is. And so that's why free will is very important for the operation of this dimension, of what you consent to, but also being quiet and not taking a stand can be considered implied consent, and you're okay, i.e. go along to get along. There's a lot of people that go along to get along in this world, and in that process, they now get swept up with everything else that's going. For the child of the Most High, you must take a stand on that which is true and that which is real, and you must now deliberately, willfully, informedly make that decision and that choice that this is the way that you will go, and this is the way that you will walk in it. God has given us the true example with Christ, not your opinion. We have to leave our opinions on the side and align ourselves with that which is true and that which is real. It is about aligning with truth, because the truth is in and of itself remains true. Our pursuit is truth, and then to align ourselves with that frequency, with that vibration, with that energy, with that which is real that comes from truth, right? So what is the simulation? And that's kind of working with the statement, I might reform it to some degree. But for right now, as a draft, it is a mental, sensory, environmental overlay on top of what is real to convince you of a lie for the purpose of control, to harvest your soul, your power, your creative ability, your attention, your labor, your focus, to refine a better mousetrap for those who would come after you. Right? Okay, shall I read that to you again? Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to read it to you again. So when people start talking about what's the simulation, what is this thing, it is a mental, sensory, environmental overlay on top of what is real to convince you of a lie for a purpose of control, to harvest your soul, your power, your creative ability, your attention, your labor, your focus, to refine a better mousetrap for those who will come after you. Yeah. Right? So there's your simulation. That's what that thing is that we find ourselves in the backdrop of this world. That's people talk about the matrix. What's the matrix? People talk about the world. What's the world? Like, if we talk about the simulation, what's the simulation? You are an eternal, immortal being that finds yourself in this place. Last time we talked about people that were here 200 years ago, they're not here. We're here. When we stop being here, where do we go? Right? But we're here. Your primary sensory construct is here with others in this space for a window of time. Now, why is it that in Luke 4 that the devil comes to Jesus and says, look, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world and all of their splendor if you do what? Bow down and worship me. Now, what is that all about? Well, back to the issue of consent. We just read the legal definition, right? If you willfully consent, if you overtly consent, if you give me your, if you understand, right, stand under, mm-hmm. if you will come under this jurisdiction and give me your power, your consent, I will give you all of this. You know, I'll give you the entire illusion. Will be yours, and you can enjoy the entire illusion. It's a real offer for a limited time. But if you, as an eternal, immortal being, and the truth that manifests, will submit to the lie, I will give you everything that the lie promises. Which is a contradiction in and of itself. But how many people go with that, right? Okay. It is the free will submission that's important. Now, this is why, too, when people get brought into the simulation, when people buy into the world, this is why so often it's also tied to, especially at the higher levels of that participation. If you're gonna go up in that pyramid structure, right? This is why it's so often tied to a sex act, murder, the hurting of a child, something terrible, so that if it was widely known, it would embarrass and ruin you. So this is their way of knowing that people are down with Team Satan, and that it's okay to have to now be a made man in that system, right? Because as they go, so the lower levels, they're going along to get along. That's implied consent, right? But once you start going further, deeper into those levels of the enemy, of humanity, at that level, now it can't be implied consent. They want overt consent. They want to know that you are down with the program. And see, this is why there's so much panic in those circles today, and you can see it because now as the frequencies are changing, as light is coming in, as things are being exposed, as things are being hidden, these were just supposed to be blackmailable things kept within a very small group of people that would send you a PDF file or an image and say, hey, you wouldn't want your wife to see this, you wouldn't want your community to see this, you wouldn't want your constituency to see this, you wouldn't want this to be broadcast on the TV, would you? This thing that you did 18 months ago that we happened to tape, right? That's now, all that stuff is coming out and it's everywhere, and now people that, and what does that do? It loses the power of the blackmailers, because now they don't have that power, because now it's widely known, and it panics, and all these things that, everything that was hidden is now being brought into the light. Everything that had the ability to control is losing its control, and also they don't know what to do, because that whole system that thrived on things being done in the darkness is now coming apart because the light is continuing to come in, right? So now how do we know that the simulation is not real, right? How do we know? Well, some of the different ways that we know this is through observation, through analysis, through pattern recognition, through anticipation, through projection, through also our ability to change our own experiences within it. See, here's something too. Have you ever been dreaming, and then in the dream you realize that you were dreaming, and when you realize you were dreaming, then all of a sudden you realize you could like do anything in your dream? Yeah, you just see, right? Okay, and then you had that moment in your dream, and you're like, oh wait, well, I'm dreaming. I can fly. I can do this. I can do anything because I'm dreaming. But, you know, this is that moment now where, you know, we're letting each other know, actually, this is not real. The simulation is not real. And you actually have the power to affect your own reality in this if you know the ground rules of how it works. So the ground rules of how this works, though, is you have to understand who you are and move in the power of who you are in that, rather than allowing your life and your construct to be dictated by the simulation. So the mistake that people make, by and large, when they've entered into this thing, is the mistake they make is, number one, to believe the lie is real. Number two, to consent to the lie. And number three is to participate in the lie, knowingly or unknowingly, right? So I'll say that again. So the mistake that people make is to believe the lie is real, to consent to the lie, and then to participate in the lie knowingly or unknowingly. That's the mistake that people make, and that's what destroys people's lives. You can spend the next 40 years of your life in that mess, wake up one day and say, hey, I've just wasted my everything.
Yep.
Right? So that's the mistake that people make. Now, the contrast to that for the child of light, you will know the truth. One, you will know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Number two, removing your consent from every area on purpose over time. So now this is where, when you realize that you've accidentally or deliberately consented, begin to remove your consent from that. And then the third one is you put your focus and your energy into building out the truth. So that's the contrast. So instead of making the mistake, we actually make deliberate, purposeful choices. We're not going along to get along. We say, okay, I understand the truth. I'm making the decision, I'm making the choice, and this is the way I'm going to go as the Most High reveals it to us. So with one more piece in this now, as we've been talking a little bit about this, and to understand a bit along these lines, this is where now there's a greater understanding coming within the people and within the population of the use of frequency, the use of vibration, and energy, right? Let's talk scientifically. Nikola Tesla, he said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, to think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration, right? So I'm going to just spend a little bit of time on this before we close for today. So in terms of energy, this is for people that are listening, they're just going to have to imagine this, right? Energy, frequency, and vibration. Okay, so let's talk in terms of, if this was a simulation, just this being a holosphere, a construct, right? Everything in that simulation, when we gave the definition earlier, what does it work to do when it comes to your energy, your frequency, your vibration? All of it works to bring those down, right?
Or into alignment with something untrue, right?
Yeah, yeah. So all of them, so think about the things that deplete your energy, deplete your frequency, deplete your vibration. So what, now, and there's a purpose for it, because as you are depleted and brought down, you are more and more likely to become aligned with a harvesting system and be able to be harvested, because you are now in a position that they can do that. If you go up, in contrast, if your energy increases, if your frequency increases, if your vibration increases, it is harder to keep you inside of this. Think about this. When, for those of you that have the lovely experience of being in love, right? Okay, when you fall in love, if, you know, what is that? Love is a very high frequency, high vibration experience, right? So when you're in love, there could be bombs dropping outside. How many of you seen like those war movies and there's like a romance in the middle of a war, and all of a sudden, like, even though there's bombs going off and the guy finds some place where there's a flower still growing on the roadside, and he plucks the flower and he finds a way to get it across to the girl over the lines, and there's that moment. And the why? Because it's a high vibration, high frequency. And why does that resonate with an audience? Because people are like, oh yeah, I remember what it's like. Isn't that amazing that in this terrible situation, that there is that kind of thing going on? Why? Because it's a high vibration, high frequency element. And what does it do? Whatever's happening in and around you has less of a draw, less of an impact, and less of a focus, because this other thing that's coming from within is actually making you have a different experience in this. This is why experiences like that, they try to keep you away from. Experiences that would draw out the best in you. So now, you know, just for, we'll probably spend a bit more time on this in the future, but just for today, consider the fact that, practically speaking, whatever you do that will raise your energy, raise your frequency, raise your vibration, is all things that are going to naturally contribute to you not being able to be controlled by the simulation. So anything that you do that raises those things up is going to actually improve your overall being, whether it is in your body, whether it's in your mind, whether it's in your spirit. So this is what, when you spend time in prayer and meditation, that, what does that do? It raises your overall, it balances you out and raises those frequencies within you. This is why when you're outside in the sun, you ground your feet, you do, just, these are simple things. When you're eating food that's actually coming from the ground rather than sprayed with a bunch of toxic chemicals or processed and kept on a shelf for 2 years, you know, that gives you a higher frequency, higher vibration interaction. When you eat food that's made by human hands with good energy versus a machine. You know, you're going to pick up something. Can you? You know how like you have somebody's food and it just tastes different? They make the exact same dish, but golly, nobody makes that like, you know, such and such person, right? It's because there's an energy that goes into that food from the person that makes it and the person that creates it. So these are all things to consider. But in this regard, whatever, and think about this one between this week and the next time we meet, but think about in your own life, small things that you can do. Think about the people that are in your world. Some people will bring you down, draw away your energy, suck the energy out of you like a vampire, lower your vibration, lower your frequency. Those people, minimize your interaction. The people that are a blessing and raise you up and lift you up and encourage you and keep you, those are the people that you should be drawing close. Yeah. And those are the people that you will also resonate and support and build out, right? So we can do that as individuals. You can do that within your organizations, within your companies. You can do that within your interactions. The thing that's cool about all this is that it turns into something exponential. When you start getting some of these things going in your own life and in your own world, it's not a 1 + 1 = 2. It actually is an exponential increase in your life experience. When you are energetic and healthy in your body, what does that do? It increases everything else. Yeah. When you now have good people in your life and in your circle, what does that do? Overall, it encourages you. You're able to do far more. Mm-hmm. So like that, each time that you deliberately make a decision, what you will and will not consent to, you now are breaking that hold of that false construct in and around you, and you are deliberately making decisions for what your life will be. When you take action, and that's one key thing that goes back to the earlier series, it is the actions that you take that now all reality will change for you and your experience. It may not change in the entire larger world around you, but your life experience will change. Okay? All right, so with that, I think we're going to stop there for today. So let us pray and we'll close out for today. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the understanding that we are children of the Most High and we are immortal beings here in a temporal space. And so we invite you to continue to quicken us with the truth and quicken us with the heart and the tools to act on the truth which is known and to live in the reality that you have for each and every one of us. We bless one another in Jesus' name and that which is true. And we trust you to lead and guide us each and every day. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.